Welcome to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast, where we interview people who recently purchased their dream home in Spain. They tell us what worked, what didn't, and what they'd do differently next time. I'm Beth Davison, and today I'm speaking with Damien, originally from Dublin, who purchased his dream home in Ilar in Almería. You'll hear how his search began somewhere else entirely, but that he was completely won over by the scenery of southern Spain. He worked with estate agent Spanish property expert to find his dream home. Check out the show notes at quiero.com/podcast to find links and resources mentioned in this episode.
My name is Damien and I purchased a house in Ilar, a three-bed house.
And how did the process start for you, Damien? Where did the first seed of an idea begin?
It started with looking at a property in Bulgaria.
Oh, okay. So some miles from Spain.
I had an opportunity at purchasing a very cheap property in Bulgaria, and I decided to look closer to home than Bulgaria because it was just too far.
Mm. Yeah. So were you looking kind of just a short flight?
Yeah. It was just I've always liked Spain. Like, I've been there lots of times and always enjoyed myself there. So that's why I was looking in Spain. And although I'd never been to the Almeria region, I'd heard about it from friends who had been there and they were all raving about it. So I was looking at properties all over Spain and I just kept going back to this one little town called Ilar in Almeria. And I don't know why I kept going back to it. It was just kind of catching my eye, as it were. And when I actually went out the first time to have a look at properties, I by chance ended up in Ilar because I wasn't actually scheduled to go to Ilar to look at properties. I was scheduled to look elsewhere. And Danny from Spanish Property Expert, he was showing me some properties and I said to him, what about Ilar? Is that far from here? And he said, well, I'll take you. Come on, follow me.
Oh, amazing.
So I followed him and here we were in Ilar and I was just taken aback with the scenery around the place, the mountains, all the views and all that. It just blew me away.
Well, it is stunning and it's that lovely distance that you're talking about, that it's still close enough to feel not too far from home and yet the scenery is beautiful, the weather's amazing. Like, it's always glowing reviews from that part of Spain.
Yeah, and it's not, like, I mean, even from Almeria, and there's an airport in Almeria, it's a 30-40 minute drive to where I bought the purchase, where I purchased the property. So,
and so with the property itself, was it that same moment of it just sort of felt right and it just sort of spoke to you when you saw your property?
First time I stood outside the property, and we had to stand outside the property because we needed the bank to be there to open up the property and they weren't.
Oh, wow.
I literally got to look at it from the outside. And I thought, yeah, this has definitely got potential. What Danny brought me to were a few apartments, and there were two-bed apartments, but I was kind of thinking a three-bed house would be better because we could have friends over and what have you. And he told me about the house, so we went over and we stood in the garden looking at the house. And that was it.
Peering through the windows.
We went on to look. Yeah, that kind of thing. And we went on and looked at other properties, and then I had to catch my flight home that actual day. So kind of had to finish up with Danny. But then I arranged a second visit, and on the second visit, I got to go into the property. So once I got into it, it just kind of made my mind, yeah, this is definitely the property for me.
Fantastic. What was it about the property, do you think, when you got to see inside, what was it that really spoke to you?
The size of it, you know, and the way it was laid out, like a very large sitting room, dining room. And it's not a huge kitchen, but it's not a small kitchen either, you know.
Mm.
And also on that floor, there's a shower room, a separate shower room. And then there's a little a larder space in the kitchen. So that kind of appealed to me. And then we went up the stairs and, you know, this nice large landing, big bathroom, bedrooms are the ideal size, you know. So it just kind of all fell into place. And I was like, yeah, definitely this one.
Great. And like you're saying, lots of room for guests. Have you had lots of people over there yet?
Are you kidding me? I don't even have the electricity or the water turned on yet.
Okay, fine. I didn't know how far down the process we were. Okay, one step at a time. One step at a time.
Yeah, we only got it December. It finally went through.
So talk to me about that finally then. From the point when you decided that you wanted it and you put down an offer, has it taken a long time to get to the process, to get through the process?
I'll be honest with you, there were times I was ready to throw in the towel. I did need to take out a small mortgage for it. And I thought taking out a mortgage in Spain was going to be the biggest problem. And far from it. It was the easiest thing I ever did. And I'm going to put a plug in for Sarah in Bank in Spain, because she was absolutely brilliant. She told me exactly what I needed. I sent her over exactly what she asked for. And within, I think it was 2 weeks, we were mortgage approved.
Wow. Okay.
So that couldn't have been any easier. The negative, because the house was a bank repossession, the bank that was selling it kept coming back and coming back and coming back looking for more or more details about finances and identity and proof of this and proof of that. And rather than send you over a pack, say, that told you, okay, as a selling bank, we will require A, B, C, D, E, F, G, they don't do it that way. They just, you literally get an email from either Danny or from Sarah or from your solicitor. And now they're looking for this. At one point, I thought they were going to ask me where my grandmother used to do her shopping.
Oh,
that's
no.
How ridiculous it was getting.
Oh, bless you. And you know what? With property, when there's so much emotion tied up in it, I think the back and forth can be the most painful part.
Yeah, like as I said, I thought getting the mortgage was going to be the most difficult part, and it was that sailed through. That was no issue at all.
Mm.
But the actual bank that were trying to offload a house that's on their books that they want to get rid of, they tried desperately hard to turn me off actually doing it.
Wow, but they didn't succeed. They didn't succeed, and you got the house eventually.
No, they didn't succeed. And to be honest, I was in a lot of contact with Danny, and he kind of kept saying to me, stick with it, Damien, don't worry. This is normal. This is exactly what happens.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
And it's helpful to have that you know what, that kind of person just to say, yep, this is normal. This is the system.
He had the experience on the ground, you know, so,
yeah,
you know, hats off to Danny. And like I've met with Danny at home here. We've gone out for meals and everything. And I have to say, he's brilliant. You know, he's very good at what he does. He knows the stuff. And like I'm buying an empty house and it needs work done to it. And Danny's able to organise all that for me.
Yeah, which is great. Just having a point of contact over there. Did buying a repossessed house change anything else in the process? Did it make anything else more complicated? Obviously, the paperwork to begin with. And it sounds like if it's not been lived in for a little while, does it need a bit of love?
It's going to, yeah, it definitely needs some love. And the love hasn't happened to it yet. Because, as I said, the water and the electricity haven't been turned on yet. So I can't get workers in there to do anything until mm-hmm. that's up and running. And I personally can't go over to do anything either because I have a house, but I've nowhere to stay.
Yeah. The irony.
Now, I'm sure Danny would probably organise something for me over there that I could rent an apartment from one of the other owners over there. But, you know, like we're barely just past a month since the sale went through. And we've had our Christmas over here and Three Kings Day over in Spain. Mm-hmm. So everybody's been on holidays and in holiday mood. So I don't really expect things to start kicking off until maybe next week. And, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is look after the security on it, because we've one key for 5 doors, I think it is. And the one key only works on one door.
Right.
So
okay.
I need to change locks, all that kind of stuff.
Is it intimidating, or do you feel quite confident that just, you know, bit by bit, you're gonna get all the things done that you need? Has there been a point where you felt sort of, oh, this is a big undertaking, or you sound very confident?
No, the only point where I said, you know, I've had enough of this was with the selling bank coming back and looking for more information and more information, mm-hmm. but never asking for all the information. You know, they, you know, a week would go by and then they'd come back and they'd say, well, we need this. So yeah, you send painful. Them whatever it was, and you think, right, that's it, now we're clear. And then 2 weeks later, they come back and they're looking for something else, you know. Word for the banks that are selling over there, do a list.
Send
it out
okay.
in the pack to anybody who wants to buy from them.
That's good feedback.
These are things we will require.
But now that you have the keys, though, it sounds like you need a list of just all of the things: security, electricity, water. What else is on that list?
Oh, well, I mean, there's a new kitchen going in, the furniture, beds, everything, you know. We need to furnish an entire house, so.
Amazing. It sounds so fun.
It is fun, to be honest with you. You know, you go online and I'm looking at different websites in Spain, and I've come across a hypermarket, Carrefour, I think it's called, and they seem to be quite reasonable and carry quite a lot of stuff. You know, I've been amazed at what I could see in there. Now, I haven't ordered anything as yet, but doing the homework before I actually go and commit to what I'm going to buy, because I know IKEA are over there and there's other shops over there we could go to as well. And Danny actually mentioned a few shops to me that, you know, do furniture and what have you, and he actually brought me to one or two of them.
Oh, great.
So haven't committed to anything. Doing the homework, when the homework's done, you know, at least then I'll be able to pinpoint exactly what's needed.
And other than Danny, have you got contacts on the ground over there, or are you going to be looking for a social group when you head over?
No contact on the ground over there whatsoever. So I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, mixing with the locals. I think the total population of the village is about 400, and get to know locals. You know, I'm actually using Duolingo at the moment to learn Spanish so that I can actually speak to people in their
Very
own
good.
Language.
Yeah, no, that's great. Duolingo is amazing as well. Like, if you really commit just a little bit a day, and then you're fine. By the time you get over there, it'll be much easier.
I've yet to find out, but hopefully.
Yeah, fantastic. And how do you envisage, I know I'm kind of asking you to imagine a future situation here, but how do you envisage your life being over there? How involved are you going to be in the community? What do you think day to day you'll enjoy about the Spanish lifestyle?
I'll enjoy the weather, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of looking forward to having somewhere to go to where it's not a rat race. You know, it's just a more relaxed lifestyle. You know, meeting up with people in the village over, I don't know, over a beer or coffee or having a meal, and just generally taking it easy. That's the thing that appeals to me most.
Yeah, lovely. I can fully empathise with that. Do you think you'll be looking at, are you looking at a permanent move, or are you looking at bit by bit and holidays and then eventually more?
Possibly. At the moment, it's just holidays and what have you, but perhaps near retirement, I might have to put the thinking hat on and decide, okay, do I want to live there or not?
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know what, you'll know that when you've spent more time there, I suppose, when you really start to build a life over there and you can decide what you want to do.
Exactly. You know, the great thing is, at this moment, I'm not committed to anything, so I don't need to make my mind up, oh, I'm going to live in Spain, or oh, I'm staying here in Dublin. You know, it's a holiday home at the moment. The only thing I'm committed to is making sure that as a holiday home, it's ready for when we go on our holidays over there.
Yes, and you need electricity and water. That'll start things off.
And I need electricity and water. I think they're getting turned on this week or maybe early next week, so we'll be okay that
Amazing.
We can start getting things done.
What's the attitude been of your friends back in Dublin? What do they think?
Well, there's actually very few know, but the ones that do know, they're, I don't know, I think you see a little bit of the green-eyed jealousy monster,
yes.
You know?
That was the answer I thought might come back.
I'll be honest with you, when I was growing up, I never thought I'd be in a position that I could have a holiday home. But, you know, I'm kind of pinching myself every day saying, wow, I do have them.
But, and also that you're going to share that. You're going to have people to come and stay. It's a whole kind of, people are going to learn through your experience and really see an interesting part of Spain. And it sounds like an amazing thing to do.
Yeah, well, once everything's up and running, as a family, we can all go over. We can do the exploring in the area and discover what's what. And, you know, go for the little trips into Almeria or even up to Mahacker. I know it's a bit of a longer drive. I think it's an hour and a half to Mahacker, but we could go up there. And like I've been around that area now, so I know you've got Mahacker, Garucha, Vera, and they all just kind of roll into one big long strip. So yeah, should be fun. Should be fun. Looking forward to the exploration.
I was going to say, you've got lots of exploring to do. Well, my final question is just a piece of advice for if someone is sitting there thinking, well, maybe they're thinking they want to hold a home in Bulgaria, but if they're thinking about purchasing abroad, do you have any wise words? What would your key piece of advice be? Prepare for the bureaucracy, it seems, but anything else?
Yeah, it's just one word, patience. You need to have a lot of patience,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're buying a bank-owned property. I'm sure if you're buying a privately owned property, things go through a bit quicker. But with a bank-owned property, it's patience. It's all about patience. Keep your cool and just don't slip the lid when they ask you, you know, what colour shoes are you wearing today? Because you know, I wouldn't put it past them.
And have all of the answers. You'll have all of the answers. You just hand them over one at a time. That's fine. You made it.
Exactly. And smile and grin and say, okay. But don't ever think you've gotten to the end of it until you hear we're signing.
Yeah, I think that's great advice just in all property purchases is don't count your chickens, but just do everything that you can. And it all worked out in the end. So, and would you say? Are you feeling like it was worth it?
Very much so. Going through it, yeah. There were times where the hair was being pulled and what have you, but no, I did. You know, I'm quite happy that I've got somewhere now that I can go to in about 2 months' time. I'm hoping it's going to be up to standard. And, you know, I'm not even planning on renting this place out. It's just for me and my family. And, you know, if some friends want to go over, fine, you know, as long as we're not planning on going over at the same time, off you go, you know.
I have a feeling you'll be very popular. I'm sure. I'm glad that it's all gone great. And I hope that the next couple of months of getting everything up to scratch so that you can have a lovely summer there. I hope that happens.
Yeah, so do I.
Thanks so much for chatting to me, Damien.
Okay, thanks a million for the call.
Thank you for listening. And thanks to Damien for sharing his experiences. It's so interesting to hear about how a bank repossession changes the buying process. And clearly, what a lesson in patience he's learned. I'm so glad that it all worked out in the end. And remember, if you like what you've heard, you can search this agent's properties and more on Quiero.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This podcast is produced by Quiero.com. Our mission is to connect you with estate agents and properties throughout Spain. Whether your dream home is a rustic farmhouse surrounded by olive groves or a lock up and leave apartment on the seafront, you'll find everything you need at Quiero.com. We love hearing how these podcast episodes have helped you find your dream home in Spain. Please do continue to share your feedback with us. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate you taking the time to review and rate our podcast on iTunes or your preferred podcast listening app. Your feedback, reviews, and ratings help us reach and connect more people with their dream home in Spain. And when you're ready, here are 4 ways we can help you. Ask a question by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll try and answer them all in an upcoming Q&A episode. Get a location guide by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll reply with the latest data and information on the areas you're interested in. Calculate your budget. Simply visit quiero.com/budget, enter 2 numbers, and you're done. Be our guest. If you've already purchased your home in Spain, we would love for you to share your story on the podcast. Just email beth@quiero.com and we'll take it from there. Tune in next time when I catch up with Carol from Northamptonshire, who bought her dream home in Cuevas de Almanzora. She only picked up the keys a few days before we spoke, so prepare for lots of excitement. I'm Beth Davison, and you've been listening to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast. I'll see you next time.